good soil? Are the time and effort it takes to give your family a biblical heritage worth it? Hello, my name is Jeremiah Pent, and I'm the oldest son of Arnold Pent III, author of 10 Peas in a Pod. Dad published this story of his family's life on the road over 40 years ago when he was in his early 20s. Many who have heard the story of this father, mother, and 8 children traveling a million miles all over the continent, singing, quoting scripture, preaching, and homeschooling back in the 1950s, have asked about where the family is now. Though Grandpa and Grandma Pent both died when I was young, all the siblings still remain and range in age from 52 to 72. I thought the best way to give an update from each of them would be to let them speak for themselves. So over the past year, I interviewed each of them separately. Fortunately, 6 of the 8 children live in Florida. So on a 48-hour whirlwind trip to Winter Garden, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, I was 75% done with the initial interviews. I later traveled to Madison County, Virginia, where I interviewed my dad, and finished the interviews by phone with my Uncle Peter at his home in Nashville. I asked each sibling 5 questions, which I'll reveal as we progress. I came away with many different answers and a lot of questions in my own mind on the topics we discussed. Those of you who have read 10 Peas in a Pod know that my grandfather had his family read the Bible individually for an hour before breakfast each morning, as well as participate in family Bible reading for a half hour after every meal. Their programs on the road encouraged listeners to spend time in the Word as well, through reading, meditating, and memorization. I think many people who hear the story are curious about how the family turned out. Was it worth it to spend so much time reading the Bible? What kind of fruit has it produced? Should I do the same thing with my own family? I can tell you this. A heritage in the Scripture did not shield any of the Pent children from trials and tribulations. The Christian life is not an easy life, as the many psalms of lament in Scripture will testify. We, who worship the one true Almighty God, are a people who nevertheless suffer regularly as we pursue righteousness, and we often need to cry out to God for help. Because of this reality, the first question I asked each member of the family was how the Word had sustained them in times of crisis. I thought my Uncle Peter had an interesting answer to that question. Peter, the 6th born in the family, married Dara Milstead in 1973. They now live in Nashville, Tennessee, and have 2 children. He said this about the Word of God sustaining him in crisis.
Well, it has always been a wondrous thing to have Scripture stored in my memory, and that would be thanks to Dad and his diligence in seeing to it that there was a regular Bible reading schedule carried on. And even now, many years later, it will still come to mind to help me make a decision or enlighten my conscience or convict me when I sin, and comfort me and inspire me to go on in becoming what Christ intended for me to be. It has not saved me from all crises. We still must be partakers of the sufferings of Christ. It has not saved me from pain, but it has given purpose to my pain and hope for restoration, which is all we need.
I liked this honest answer. I sense that some parents want a magic formula that will guarantee success with their children. If this is the desire, how we define success would be significant. As we look at the lives of believers in the Scripture, the painful process of coming to spiritual maturity is far from the airbrushed perfection our culture seems to desire and believe possible. Peter continued with some thoughts on our delusions about the faithful avoiding pain.
As your Uncle David and I talked a few nights ago on this same subject, One thing I brought up to him was that I think when we were young and being raised in this environment, we had the expectation that we were going to miss out on all the pitfalls and be saved from much pain Whereas, as I look back, it was a preparation for what we were to go through. And like the disciples of Jesus, when they were with him, they didn't get it the first time around. There are just some things that I can't hear in my youth. So when, you know, when pain happens, after all this supposed kind of protection that we had, at first there's great disappointment. Mm-hmm. There's even falling away, I should think, because, you know, that's not what we expected. It was not supposed to happen.
My dad, Arnold, the third born of the family, married Esther James in 1969. They have 4 children and 6 grandchildren and currently divide their time between Fort Worth, Texas, and Madison County, Virginia. In my interview with Dad, he spoke to the power of the Word read and memorized to sustain him through crisis.
The blessing of being able to trust God in the face of many, many varied circumstances, I would say, is the most profound impact on my life. There are many circumstances that I've been through over these last 45 years, crises of many different kinds. But because of the knowledge of the Word of God and being able to readily bring it to mind quickly in times of crisis has been my salvation. It has sustained me, strengthened me, brought me through. And I just thank God for His Word. I thank God for the heritage of having heard the Word of God for hours and hours at a time through my upbringing, and being able then to retrieve it in later years as you are going through the various experiences of life.
Because of the Pent family's Bible reading practices, they read through the Bible a number of times a year. Familiarity with the whole of Scripture, as well as the ability to memorize whole chapters and even books of the Bible, was the natural outcome of such practices. Knowing this, the next question I asked each member was how the practices ingrained in them during their upbringing had impacted their lives with the Lord now. Elizabeth, the 4th-born member of the family, married Eric Jeline 34 years ago. They have 3 married sons and live in Windermere, Florida. Aunt Elizabeth spoke of the impact of the family's Bible reading practices on her life now.
Well, because the Scriptures were poured into me and coerced into me and forced into me, and whether I was awake or asleep, read to me from the first time I was cognizant of being a person, it has become part of my thinking, like a computer in my brain. And I have to say that it's amazing and wonderful that the Scriptures are much more dear to me now. They are rarely dry. It's rarely a boring time when I'm in the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit uses the history and the knowledge that was forced into me when I was a child so that now it's bearing fruit. We've done the same thing with our children. My husband, who became a Christian 2 years before we were married, having been a Unitarian and in the Navy and all of those things that go along with that, he has also been influenced by the habits of my father, and he started the first day we were married on our little 2-day honeymoon. We sat by a river in North Carolina and started reading the Bible, and we've read it every day, even through our hard times, even through the crisis in our marriage. We read the Bible every day, and our children were there with us. And so we would go in after dinner in the evening, and we'd have devotions, and everybody would take a turn reading. And in the morning, when the boys were getting ready for school, I was reading the Scriptures to them. And so it's become not a vain thing for us. It has become our life. And I have to say, it is sweeter now, much sweeter than it ever has been before. It's more real, more alive, and has all the hope that I'll ever need. I'm a melancholy, so going through the times of rearing children, I literally went to the Scriptures on my knees at times when everyone was either at work or at school. Because of my melancholy nature, I went through quite heavy depression at times, and the Scriptures would say to me Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So it is not a dead thing, it is very alive.
Uncle Paul, the fifth-born Pent, who interestingly claims a melancholy personality as well, has been married to his wife Michelle for 13 years. He has 2 children and 4 grandchildren from his previous marriage, as well as a stepdaughter, son, and grandchildren from his present marriage. Paul spoke of the significant impact of reading the Bible to children when they are young, and how that will affect them throughout life.
When parents read the Bible daily during childhood, during your formative years, that time when you have no inclination to do so yourself, you receive Scripture at that critical time that the mind and the heart have maximum absorption. And throughout life, the Bible is constantly informing, and I mean constantly. And I don't think that can happen if you come into faith later on in life, because your mind is in a different form. The youth, the first 8 years, is unique, and only a parent can give that to a child. So throughout life, you will reap what your parents gave you, and so you can only thank them for that. Even if you apply Scripture to a situation wrongly, it's still profitable to bring wisdom.
Aunt Charlotte, the youngest member of the family, resides in Jacksonville, Florida, with her husband of 15 years, David Paris. She has 2 sons from a previous marriage. Charlotte spoke of the high view of the Word that her father's devotional practices ingrained in her.
It was very clear from the way my father treated the Word and how he explained it, that it was the authority of all things, that it was put in the Word of God was put in the greatest esteem. And when it competed with other philosophers or other thoughts of the day, it was always the one that trumped everything else. All thought processes and all modern theory or current theory or any historical theory, whether it be of the Greeks or the great philosophers, was always put through the sieve of the Word of God and the filter. And if it stood up, the Word of God was final. The others sometimes agreed and sometimes didn't, but it was all, and I think that's how it impacted me. And to this day, I love quoting the scripture, "He maketh the diviners mad," because there are so many people that are divining now with the weather patterns or whatever, and it is still the Word of God that stands true, and that really gives solidity and a foundation for your life.
In my interview with each family member, I also asked if they had any fond or humorous memories they'd like to share. Aunt Connie, the second-born, married to Stan Jeline for 41 years, has 3 married sons and 2 grandchildren. Connie related this memory about her parents.
My dad was the definite leader in our family. He led us very much like a general might lead an army. And he was the one mostly responsible for the disciplines of teaching diligence in the scriptures and teaching us to work. But Mom, who doesn't get talked about very much, was the tender, loving one in our family. Dad took us to every state in the United States, but I've often told people, Mom made it palatable, made life palatable in every state. My mom loved home, but God didn't let her have a home in one place as she had dreamed of. She seldom had a normal, private one of her own. But she made a home out of every situation that she was given. Because of Mom's desire for privacy, she didn't care what kind of a place she had, what it looked like, if she could just have a place for our family, if it was just a week or a month. where she was just private and away from living at eyes that were watching everything that she did, she was just as happy as a lark. I remember one experience in Northern California where a man, my mom discovered a man that was entertaining us. She discovered a little old shack back on the back part of his property that somebody had probably lived in years and years ago. And she saw that and thought, boy, I'd like to have that rather than living with somebody else in their house. And so the man, she or dad asked, could we stay in that little place? And he said, well, sure, but, you know, it's certainly is a mess right now. And indeed it was. We, the girls and I, walked into this little shack with Mom, took one look at it and saw cobwebs everywhere, dirt everywhere, and thought, oh no. But Mom got that excited look on her face that she would get when she had a chance to just have a place where she could be out of the public for a little while. She said, come on, girls. We can, with water and soap and a broom, we can turn anything into a home. And with great enthusiasm, she got a bucket of water and soap and a broom and said, come on, girls, let's get with it. So we got with it, but we didn't have the enthusiasm that my mother had to clean up that place. But, you know, soon there was the smell of homemade bread wafting through that little old cabin as my mom made bread and started cooking, and just with that happy, contented look that I saw on my mom's face every time she had the privacy of her own place. And it's interesting because this is the way that my mom demonstrated the importance of a mother's role in the home. Of course, her life was most of the time in a car, but her mother, from the time she was very young, had impressed her with the scripture that says, I will therefore that the younger women bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And then it goes on to say, for some are already turned aside unto Satan. Well, my mother impressed that scripture on me so strongly that it has been the catalyst that has motivated me to teach other women, and that is why the Lord led me and helped me start a ministry at our church called Keepers at Home, which is a support group for stay-at-home moms.
Life on the road might sound fun and adventurous to many, but being cooped up with siblings for hours on end is often no picnic, especially for the older siblings. Timothy, one of the younger ones as number 7, related this memory, showing the very human side to those in such situations.
I believe the place was Mobile, Alabama. We were staying late one evening in what's called a tourist home. It was like an antebellum home that in those days was kind of a, what should we say, an economy version of a hotel. And so that would be a typical place for us to pull off, and if we were in a big city, stay at a place like this. Well, tensions usually ran high in our family at the end of a long 10-hour driving day heading to the next destination. And if we wanted to identify the most high-strung among us, typically it would be my oldest brother David, and I must give him the credit for being high-strung. He had all those young siblings under him to help be responsible for, and so, of course, it wear on his nerves the most. Well, my brother Peter, if we were to choose someone who had the lowest, highest strong personality, he was very helpful in relieving tensions through humor. And so I remember Peter had just been to what was called a joke shop during the past week and had gotten one of those buzzers that you put in the palm of your hands. You can wind it up. I'm surprised how high-tech things were back then, even in 1960. And you could wind the thing up, and you shook somebody's hand, and of course, it'd give them a start. And so we got the wild idea of trying this out on my oldest brother, David, and so he preceded him into the room of this musty old, humid, un-air-conditioned tourist home, and just nonchalantly sat on the edge of the bed and put his hand down, palm faced open with his buzzer ready to activate. And so my brother David comes in looking for a place to relax. All of us had begun to mull in the room, you know, with our suitcases and so forth. And so David sits down on the bed where Peter is to relax, hits the buzzer, and immediately ejects off the bed, but unfortunately in a slight angle and went through a lampshade that was sitting by the bed. And so he ends up head first through this lampshade, bulb breaking, and quite a hoopla of everybody turning around and wondering what's going on. Well, that included my dad, who has also had his share of being on edge after a long day, turned around, saw how his younger son, Peter, had been misbehaving, began to scold him, and then saw David with a lampshade over his ears and broke into a guffaw. Well, that was the most memorable relief of tensions, but very typical that God provided throughout the years.
Timothy and his wife Bonnie have been married for 27 years and have 9 children. Their firstborn daughter was married just this summer. Though their home is in Florida, Timothy and his family have recently taken an opportunity to teach family discipleship in South Korea. The next question I asked each family member was what advice they would give to young families seeking to raise godly offspring with a heritage in the Word. Everyone had a piece of advice to give, so I'll go from youngest to oldest. Charlotte, who went through a period of life as a single mother, speaks first.
The advice I would give is it's really important to get the Word in every day, if you can. And I would say, fine, in this day and age, there's ways to do it that there weren't when we were growing up. Having the Bible on CD, I used that so much with my kids. I had it, it was cassette when my kids were little, but now it's on CD, and even now I still have the Bible on CD and we listen to it. Not so much as a family now that my kids are adult, that it's an individual thing, but when they were younger, it was when I was working and when I was too exhausted to come home and sit down and have a regimented Bible time like my dad was able to do, I would spread out blankets on the floor, throw down pillows on the floor, and I would put the Bible on by Alexander Scorby, and we would listen. And it takes the stress out of it, because when I came home from work, I was so tired that I had trouble, and I lived in guilt with that. I couldn't do the regimented thing that my dad did, so there was a little guilt to overcome. But when you can take time, still take time, there's ways to do it. You make it a fun time. You let the kids, if they're little, have coloring books, but be quiet. It's a holy time. They must be quiet and just listen. Because the Bible says, blessed is he that heareth. Just hearing. That's all Dad did with us. It was just the hearing of it. It becomes part of you because it becomes familiar. But I would honestly, for the struggles of the modern family, at least from my own personal issues that of working, being a working parent, put on a CD, invest in a $50 or a $70 set of the whole Bible on CD, and for a half hour a night, when their tummies are full, just put it on, put the blankets out, make it a fun, comfortable time, and just get on the floor with them and just let them hear the Word. And never quit.